This is the Schooling Noah podcast with Aaron Maslow and a special guest. Today we're talking to Nelawi Mingist, John Davis, about rap music. Listen, somebody, I'm not going to name names, Noah, probably forgot to turn on my microphone during this recording. I just want to let you know I've done what I can with this audio. John and Nelawi sound amazing. Noah is hard to listen to at times just because of his voice, but I'm a faint, chattery noise in the distance, and I don't add much, I'll tell you that, but I don't want to take away anything either. This is a fantastic episode. We sure had a good time making it, and I think our listeners are going to enjoy listening to it, but be patient, be faithful, be fruitful, go out, have sex, unprotected. I think that you will like this. You have to like this. I mean, there's no other way around it. It's just how it is. You will love this. And if you don't, then you have to listen till the end to tell us. There's a way to do that now with podcasts. You can listen to the whole thing and then tell us at the end how you feel. That's new. It's innovative. I don't know. It's a weird world we're living in. But we're living in it. Anyway, here's the intro.
Cue the music.
Okay.
I'm Aaron. This is Noah.
I'm Noah.
This podcast, what's this podcast about, Noah?
Aaron, what are you trying to get at there?
What we do...
Yeah, we're about to explain.
Today we have an expert.
My expertise, happens to be,
What is this show, Noah?
Man.
Schooling Noah with Aaron Maslow and special guests.
It's a working title.
It's a working title. We don't have.
Well, welcome, guests.
Welcome to the show.
This is Schooling Noah with yada yada yada, and
let's just skip over the most important part.
Yeah, the part that is in the theme song at the beginning of the episode.
What's?
I love our theme song.
I do too.
Ba, ba, da,
We definitely have some experts with us today, though. That's
who made your theme song?
It was
I was about to say Boy Wanda or some shit.
Jeremiah.
Yeah. If Young Metro don't trust you.
Yeah. Well, why don't you say that? We'll get into all of this stuff.
It's a lot. It's a lot right now. You guys slow down.
Metro Boomin wants some more.
We have
Just Blaze.
We have two.
We need a podcast tech.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah,
do you not have
a hot girl?
You guys need to get out of here. We got this.
I'd so be happy to.
We need recording later today. I feel like you're gonna blow your wad.
Yeah, you're gonna miss every opportunity.
You're gonna get to your podcast going. So
I'm so tired.
Let's get into this.
Absolutely,
this
we should.
I'm dumb as fuck.
Okay, absolutely not. God. Aaron's dumb.
All right, cool. You guys have confidence.
We're going to bring on experts to talk about a certain subject matter to educate us. Today's subject is...
Rap music.
Rap music.
Okay, cool, okay. Cool.
Just be straightforward. I haven't listened to rap music since the early 90s.
Wow.
The early 90s.
And by that, I mean...
Big Daddy Kane.
You big Public Enemy fan?
For me, when I was in high school, mm-hmm. which was the late 90s.
So you so, just lie, okay.
I was about to say, how fucking old are you? Holy
listening
shit.
To Fear of a Black Planet.
It was like
Peyton Paul.
And then
they died.
To Brother Lynch.
Mm. You got into Brother
like,
Lynch?
It's not
what?
Over the phone in a bathroom.
It's not good. You would have loved
No, that's
Sean.
X-rated.
Dude, Brother Lynch had like two albums where...
But they were on the same.
Dude, in mid-2000s, Shine would have been your dude.
Yeah, sure.
Because he did his in prison.
But I had already checked out.
Akon did his album in prison. Well, first of all, I know a lot. So this is actually makes sense for me because I'm definitely an expert in this.
You've been on our podcast.
Yeah, I've been on the, and it's the As the Rhyme Goes On podcast. This is sort of a duo kind of thing here.
A split.
A splitster. And,
it's not a crossover because we're not doing your show.
Right. No.
And,
I will.
Noah's done it, so we'll have
done
you.
It. And our guests today are John Davis and Nelawi Mingist, so
yeah,
that's exciting.
What's up?
They have a podcast. Is right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very true.
You can find it on Sexpot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sexpot, iTunes. Yeah.
iTunes.
Podbean.
Podbean for all them droid bitches.
We should figure that out.
Yeah.
All those sluts that like to listen to podcasts on Podbean.
Yeah.
If you a whore and you listen to this on Podbean, fuck you. You know what I mean? Yeah, absolutely. I'm sorry, Jessica Maslow.
She doesn't listen.
Yeah, no, I know. You just had a twin'siversary recently, didn't you?
Yeah, we had two babies. They turned two.
Wow.
Yeah,
4-year-old. So me and my brother were born 1 year, 1 day, 1 month apart.
What?
Yeah. So
that is the wrong order.
Ethiopian tradition.
Yeah. Whatever. Fuck it. Everyone knows. 1 year, 1 month, 1 day apart. So, like, until I was about 13, we just celebrated our birthdays together on his birthday.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah.
That's nice.
I don't know. I got a Nintendo 64.
So his birthday would be July 4th and yours would be June 5th. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, no, because one month. Yeah, you're totally wrong.
So, hypothetically, now giving out my birthday.
Why don't we just talk math today?
Okay.
Six.
No, I always get a math.
20. Is your birthday July 4th? Is that what you're saying?
No. Okay. It would be July 4th, August 5th.
Right.
He just picked two dates.
Yeah, I just picked two dates. I'm not telling people my birthday. I don't have my birthday anywhere on Facebook or anything.
Right, it's on your driver's license.
What were you saying about in Ethiopia that the calendar's different?
Oh, yeah. So it's 13 months instead of 12.
Wow.
How long is it?
5 days.
What?
Yeah.
Party?
I don't know.
Is due.
It's just a touch. Yeah.
I'm not sure about that.
Rent
but
sucks that month.
Yeah, from my understanding, it's something about like just Ethiopians. I've wanted to write a joke. Well, not even a joke, but I just always find it like it's like Africa time, the original Africa time, because the whole idea is that Ethiopians were late to hear about the birth of Christ, and it was about like 7 years later. It's a very like Coptic.
Oh, word.
Christian country, so.
This is now an Africa podcast.
It's definitely going to be.
Yeah. Now this is getting weird.
Just three white dudes like, tell us about that.
Yeah.
Not at all, but,
the banjo.
Yeah, but, no, it's, Eastern Orthodox, so just like very old school Christianity.
Word.
Yeah.
I like when you call it Africa time.
That should be a good
time.
No, dead ass. That's a real thing.
I believe it.
Tell any African person something starts at 4, they show up at 6 or 7.
So Africa time's like this,
being slow.
Slang.
It's black people time, Africa time.
Okay,
Remember when Hillary Clinton tried to make a joke about that?
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Bullshit, did she?
Yeah.
Know that.
Yeah, it was like really awkward.
It was really funny. She should go to Mike's.
Did she then like make a joke about black people talking during movies?
I think it was like Obama was later. If you remember it, I don't remember.
I don't remember. I think she said African American time or something like that.
Jesus.
And then she eventually did the hot sauce in my bag with Charlemagne the God.
It's weird she lost.
And then her and Shannon Sharp were just on them milds and yaks all day. So
Shannon Sharp is too black for TV.
I love Shannon Sharp.
He's great.
Skip.
He's the shit. I love him to death.
I like watching his old highlights too. There's this one where he's like picked up the phone. He's like, "Excuse me, Mr. President. I can't
call him the national guard. We are killing the Patriots." Yeah. They still hate him for that.
Good.
He was
Skip.
He used to call this girl I knew in college. When I was in college, he would call her.
What?
And I would listen to the voicemails. And he'd be like, "Yeah, this is a Shannon Sharp, professional former tight end."
My sister.
Yeah.
10 or 15 years old.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
My sister, one of her friends produced a song on a Neon Icon Riff Raff's album.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, like, she would show us his voicemails of just him being, like, coked out at 3 a.m. I don't remember any of them, but yeah.
That is a rapper that I will never have respect for. Especially because I feel like it used to be a joke, and now he's actually into it.
Riff
you think
Raff.
So?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to be, like, Riff Raff.
So, Riff Raff is
R little I, FF, R little A, FF.
Yeah, he came to prominence on this show called G's to Gents on MTV.
That's right. That is where it was. Mm-hmm.
It was also a good show.
So honestly. He's like the original Cardi B, if you think about it.
Yeah, with less talent.
Does Cardi B have that much talent?
Well, that's the problem. Riff Raff has less talent.
Cardi B's a personality. She's not really a good rapper.
No.
Three Loco, Trace Loco. Their group is kind of funny though. Riff Raff, Andy Milonakis, and
Dirt
Nasty.
Yeah. Oh no, they had a song with Diplo.
I believe it.
The We Are Farmers.
That's Diplo's. That's a great song.
Yeah, Diplo spits a verse, which is like terrible, but it's supposed to be.
Yeah,
terrible.
It's Andy Milonakis and.
So.
I'm only familiar with Diplo.
Duplo Legos.
What?
Block. Mm-hmm. Swallow it, but you're a whore.
Yeah. Let's start from the beginning of rap history.
Yeah, let's talk about
and go.
Wait a minute. Let's do this. Have you guys talked about this on your podcast? Have you guys talked about rap? Podcast.
No, not at all.
No,
never.
What a good form.
This is going to be.
Yeah, people have been telling us we want to hear podcasts where you two talk about rap. So
now
we're really happy to get to do it.
To reiterate what Aaron says, let's get to the roots. Questlove, Black Thought, and the rest.
So wait, is Noah the expert?
See, well, this is a problem, right? Yeah, here we are. No, I just made those names up.
Yeah.
The fact that those are the only two Roots members he knows shows.
How many Roots members
Malik
do you know?
Malik B, you don't know him.
Malik B was the original rapper.
He's Yasiin Bey's cousin.
That's offensive.
I know what I'll call this episode. Name drop.
That is fair. That is fair.
Yeah, these are all my boys.
Dice Raw.
Scott Storch used to be.
Scott Storch.
Yeah.
Scott LaRock?
No. Porn? I mean, he used to be Greg Porn, now he's just Porn.
I don't know.
But he's on the later albums.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. I know the two big ones.
He's on Undone. Well, he's on Undone and he's on...
Illadelph.
No, not Illadelph. That shit's 94.
I thought you said early.
How I Got Over in Undone. He's all over that.
They got so the newer shit.
Yeah.
I haven't listened to either of those.
Jimmy Fallon Roots.
Right.
Which I like those albums, but...
So let's talk about this.
It's a genre of music.
Genre of music.
Where people.
Where did it come from?
New York City.
New York City.
Yeah.
Can you think you could trace it to one MC?
I mean, it was like a party scene. It was like a lot of black people and Puerto Ricans. They were just taking disco records and then taking four bar loops,
changing
and
that
then
up.
Rapping over it in parties.
And the Bronx. Chick, there was a song called Heart of Glass. Some girl did. Uh-huh. I forget her name. And then she had a single, and it had some dude rapping on it.
A lot of people credit, like, Sugar Hill Gang for, like...
Sugar
Hill. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Sugar Hill. Grandmaster Flash.
The difference between rap music versus, what would you call it, disco or party rock?
Well, the whole idea is that, like... Well, the whole idea is, like, disco, they would have these, like, really, really cool... these four bars in every song that everyone loved and everyone would freak the fuck out to.
Yeah.
And the rest of the song they didn't really give a shit about.
Staying Alive. That's not a good example.
No, that's a terrible disco song.
I just recently put that on my phone because it makes me so happy.
I just named a disco song.
I hate the Bee Gees because they took out like all the fun shit.
Yeah.
But
Staying Alive is the appropriate time for heart compressions when giving CPR.
That is.
I've heard that. Yeah.
That's
from an
episode
of The Office.
But they have a...
it's also from real life.
I was young, I was petrified.
Okay, alright. You're just repeating.
But it originally started like sampling like disco beats and then eventually... They would loop it and then eventually it went into like jazz. Well, they would just take a turntable.
The turntables.
They would just, so you would have like a really, really old ass mixer. You wouldn't even have an actual crossfader on there. Do you know what a crossfader is? So when a crossfade...
Draw us a picture of it, would you?
I can actually draw
this
one.
The crossfader's basically...
This is...
Yeah, no, that actually looks right.
It is a diagram.
No, you got it. And what's... And what is...
The clitoris?
Yeah.
Good question.
And what's this thing on the...
Yeah, the thing here, that's just a smudge.
That's just from the paper. Okay.
It's a logo, so...
But yeah, when people like Grandmaster Flash, you'll watch interviews of him and he'll talk about like using like volume knobs. And so then like you would have the four beats here. You have two versions of the record, four beats. And then you go to the other one. And that's kind of where scratching started.
Grandmaster Flash innovated a lot of the technology.
Yeah.
So what are you talking about when you do just four beats? So you're basically letting the record play for four
beats. And then you go to the beginning.
The crossfader essentially is what you move it toward what you want the audience to hear.
Yeah.
That's a very basic.
So that's why turntables are an instrument, because you're basically,
mm-hmm.
working time. You're
pretty much.
Yeah.
You're making music with them.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And then that eventually, as technology progressed, now you have like things like Ableton and like Serato. Serato lets you. This is a DJ podcast now.
I told you it was gonna be about computers.
Yeah, well, I guess so. But explain Serato to us, would you?
Spell it with all of its letters.
Serato,
but without
out,
your phone.
Leave out the vowels.
It's Serato, and it's a computer software that lets you.
Yeah.
Well, that's how it's spelled. Yeah, yeah. Google. But the whole idea of Serato is that it lets you use something called time-coded vinyl so that you can play MP3s from your computer, but you can control them through, like, a vinyl interface.
Through a
So there's a physical instrument that lets you manipulate
that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's, yeah, it's like a MIDI controller. Yeah.
It's cooler to watch somebody work traditional turntables.
Yeah,
yeah, of course. That's why I don't like any real EDM or any of that shit, because I just can't.
I just wish they didn't call themselves DJs. They're doing something up there, most definitely. Yeah. But they're not.
They're nerds.
They're not like
just a bunch of
they're
nerds.
Not like Rob Swift.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
What is an EDM?
It's
electronic
sort of,
dance music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
very
a lot
popular.
Like,
what are you talking about?
It's like what
Diplo.
Yeah. What gay Europeans club to?
And white kids at CU.
Yeah, a lot of white kids.
It's big. I
big
mean,
G,
it's,
Pretty yeah. Lights, them motherfuckers.
Grizz.
So they have like those automated drum machines and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So there's not like...
There's no lyrics really, and it's just like dance music and party music.
And it's a DJ running.
Yeah,
or like a few DJs or something.
But they're not scratching. And I mean,
no,
they're,
it's computers. It's,
and how they make this music?
It's all computers.
They produce it.
Computers are making the music now?
Yeah. It's Singularity, bro.
Yeah.
Electronic.
Yeah.
It's very popular. I mean, it's
stupid.
I like some of it, but like not.
I don't like
it. The evolution of rap is now spurred
to other genres, yeah.
And now rap fans are what they hated, because now I'm sitting there cursing EDM, like rock and roll.
Like I just
cursed rap.
They're like, if you think of it as like a tree.
Oh boy, yeah. Go ahead with this metaphor, would you?
If rap is the trunk, let's say, is there any other branches?
Yeah, Young Money is a branch. So is Rockefeller.
G-Unit.
G-Unit's definitely, yeah, like, a few branches.
I mean, I know those are things.
Those are
groups.
Yeah, those are
labels.
This was
I don't know. If you want me to be, I could get serious about this, but, like, if you were to do that.
I actually thought you were being serious. Messing around is really hurting.
Those jokes were not
actually,
funny.
If you guys would both be more serious, that'd be great.
This thing, seriously, maybe our audience would stop sending me hate mail. Okay.
Yeah, they don't like us.
Now I'll get his hate mail.
I mean,
rap
is only like,
what,
40 years old? It's relatively recent. If you're going to talk roots, you're going to talk like roots of like African American music, which is like jazz, blues,
right,
that type of shit, even like ragtime. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where that root of a tree, and then it branches out to whatever.
Sure.
Yeah, rock and roll. Yeah.
And then Elvis
appropriated. It was more than Elvis.
Elvis appropriated all that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Cultural stuff into the white lexicon.
Woke Noah showing up
on these turntables. You got your crossfaders. You're taking four bars. You're repeating them.
Uh-huh.
And what is the lyrical difference between what music was prior to rap and the innovation of rap music? Like, what was the? Because it's
well, if
you're snickering, Noah.
Yeah, because that was just such so many words in that question.
If you're talking like
it wasn't
that,
even a question.
Yeah, okay, that's exactly my worry a little bit. That's my concern.
If you're talking like that era of rap music, I mean, that was more party based, right? So you're gonna get like people
Curtis Blow,
you know, like I got something to say, like just getting the crowd up and going.
What's up, everybody, in the place to be?
Would you say Slick Rick is kind of that? Or
no. Slick Rick changed it up.
Storyteller.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Slick Rick.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So now instead of like being a performer, you're being a poet.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You're writing stuff.
Yeah, and that's kind of when, you know, rap started to get, I don't know, when you could actually buy it on a cassette tape and listen to it in your car and shit like that. And then you start seeing these rappers actually, like, you know, make more lyrical shit.
Yeah, you had Rapper's Delight and The Message were probably the two first songs.
What was The Message?
Grandmaster Flash.
And The Furious Five.
And The Furious Five, Melly Mel.
Yeah. And that was the song, even though the beat is, like, really happy, they're talking about, like, the ghettos and their neighborhoods and how shitty they were. And that was, like, the first time, like, people actually got to see that.
Yeah.
In, like, a mainstream, that's, like,
and Rapper's
level.
Delight was the antithesis of that. That was a straight party record for 15 minutes.
How long did that, how long did that 15-minute song... Like, how long until that kind of music made it to the mainstream? Because you said, oh, now it's accessible. Mm-hmm. But it's really probably an underground.
Def Jam.
Really?
Yeah.
That's like...
Def Jam.
The 90s? Early
84.
Oh, really? I had no idea.
Well, because Run DMC was late 80s.
It might have been a little after 84, but I mean, by 87, I think the Beastie Boys and Run DMC and LL
were they all on TV?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Since 84? Holy shit. Yeah. I thought it was like mid 90s.
No, License to Ill was out in like 87.
Right. No, I was saying Def Jam, though. I didn't realize it was all.
See the movie Crush Groove. It's a movie about Def Jam.
Oh, really?
That came out like in like 1988. Like they had made a biopic on themselves.
Oh, wow.
Is it called a biopic?
Biopic. Yeah, that's probably the more. This is
classic.
Move your hand from my eyeball.
Slick Rick was on Def Jam.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Slick Rick.
He's a British.
He sure is a British.
He's from New York.
No, he's not. He was born in London.
He grew up in New York.
Sure. He grew up there.
Yeah, I mean,
I was going to say British born.
Schoolboy Q was born in Germany, but he's not a No one would classify him as a German rapper.
Yeah, well, none of them are German rappers, but, you know, citizen-wise, that's where, you know, most rappers come from Germany.
So you get, he's in the mid-80s, you got the kind of raw talent, you got an
feathered.
What do you call that?
I don't know.
What do you have? You had this raw thing. You have a new baby.
It was cool.
Yeah,
it was no rules.
And everybody's kind of like, how do I make this thing last? So who gets involved? You got these musicians. You've got producers. Like, how do you evolve this thing?
Well, you had Rick Rubin producing for Def Jam.
I mean, also, rest in peace to his career. Russell Simmons.
Russell, they started Def Jam. Rick Rubin and Russell Simmons.
Yeah, yeah.
And a college dorm room.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. In Rick Rubin's dorm.
And LL was the first guy they signed.
Mm-hmm. Jesus. Mm-hmm. I like that show where he was a priest.
Oh, Run's House.
Run.
Yeah. Russell Simmons is his brother.
Yeah.
Russell Simmons is the one who's allegedly raped like four girls.
Yeah.
Oh, word. Recently. Okay.
Yeah, also, and it's important, Run DMC was never actually on Def Jam. That's a common misconception.
Were they on like Sony?
Atlantic or something like that. Okay, they got a lot of money. The record labels saw what was happening and was throwing money.
Yeah.
They had Public Enemy too.
So you have this industry that's growing and people are seeing the potential. So investors start throwing money at these production companies who are just college kids. And what do they do with that?
They sign
music
artists.
Videos.
Well, you also you can't gloss over the fact that.
This is all out of the East Coast, by the way.
it's the control of the record industry by the Jewish people. So at what point did they come in to monopolize the whole operation?
I'm not answering that question. No. I'm not privy to.
Was it like 47 when Israel was declared a state, or was it like way later? Like after the Munich terrorist attack.
Roughly.
78.
Yo, we're about to walk out of this fucking podcast.
I'm not Kanye West. I'm not Jay-Z. How the Jews own all the property in America.
Yeah, that's right.
Noah likes to test our guests with anti-Semitism.
That's what it is. Jesus it was a Christ. Test you guys passed. Absolutely. Guys flying colors.
Yeah.
John, you spoke a little weird. But everybody else is right.
I would have liked you guys to come out like immediately against that type of rhetoric, but you didn't. But that's okay. How about Big L? Where is he coming? He's one of your favorites.
Mid-90s.
Yeah.
Okay.
He came with the Children of the Corn with Cameron, Mace.
Did he die Big before L. or after Mace. Biggie and Tupac?
He was killed before. His brother drugged debt to a drug dealer, and Big L was killed. Toots.
Oh, here's a good question that Noah was going
to
ask.
I was about to.
So you have this East Coast scene coming up.
Mm-hmm.
You also have West Coast.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So these two things evolve kind of independently, and then all of a sudden you get to the mid-90s and there's a culture clash.
Yeah. Well,
media created.
What did you call it? Media created.
Media created, yeah.
Vibe
so,
magazine.
Yeah. And also, the Vibe, yeah, once again, those Vibe rewards.
Jesus Christ.
But
we can get to that later.
We can get to that. But pretty much, if you want to talk, we can skip. Oh, like NWA is the ones who put West Coast on the map.
Ice T and NWA. Yeah. NWA.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What was their style?
Like, I mean, that was the original like gangster rap.
It's the first album to carry the parental advisory sticker.
Mm-hmm. Oh, word.
Yep.
East Coast guys are talking
Boys in the
about
Hood?
Where I came from. This is the I came from the ghettos. I'm poor.
Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah. Well, why not?
You had it all over the place. LL was...
LL was all...
East Coast, and it's like, yeah. All those things and
all LL was braggadocious.
Yeah. LL was... He was the first one to do, like, real love songs.
Yeah. And he was braggadocious. Public Enemy was hyper-conscious, hyper-political.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They were all East Coast.
So LL made it more pop.
Later on, probably by about his fourth album.
Yeah
when he went back to Cali.
But then, that would be the album, Walking with the Panther. But then everybody said he sold out, and then he put out Mama Said Knock You Out and shut everybody the fuck up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then he's on NCIS Los Angeles and really killing it there.
What was his last album? Was it the one with Headsprung?
No, he's had like three since then.
Oh, okay. That was the last one I bought. Yeah. That was terrible.
Yeah. You were saying something about the West Coast.
Now,
The West Coast, it was mostly NWA who popularized it. And then after the fallout of that group, you see like Ice Cube with like West Side Connection. You see Eazy-E, which he started bringing like Midwest rappers into the map. And then.
Correct.
Yeah, Suge Knight injected him with AIDS.
That's a theory.
What happened?
Okay.
Like that South Park episode?
I don't think so.
You guys are...
South Park talks about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. AIDS? Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. And then you have Dr. Dre with Death Row Records and things like that. I mean, Tupac was still around. There was still like an underground rap scene in California. And like also the South was starting to become a thing.
With
like,
Rap-A-Lot Records. Well,
yeah. Sure,
Scarface.
If you go to that time, it's all just kind of warped back in our minds.
Yeah, please.
Like, rap is coming up. Uh-huh. It's like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah.
But people are obviously threatened. I remember, Timmy Gore going in front of the Senate. And
was that Al Gore's slutty wife or something?
She's not his wife. But she was pleading that it was too violent. It was going to turn this nation into a cesspool of...
Well, you're skipping over, because you said mid-90s, but you're also skipping over, there was this...
probably earlier than that.
I don't know about that, but there was this, I don't want to say debate, but the split even before the West Coast, East Coast, with the Afrocentric rap. Native tongues, and then you have the gangster shit that, like, Dr. Dre was doing with the Chronic, and so then, you know, the Afrocentric native tongues type shit, it was like people wearing like A Tribe Called Quest.
De La Soul.
Oh, okay. I was going to say what an example is.
They were heavy with the Zulu Nation, which was Nation of Islam.
Like, Jay Electronica's all into that.
Jay Electronica's not a fucking rapper.
Anymore.
No.
We actually have a special guest.
Excuse me, Jay.
You and Chance. He had a feature recently.
Tully.
Yeah, come on. Just a step for a second. Jay, just have a seat.
Hi, it's me, Mr. Electronica.
What is the album?
Which one?
The one on Rock Nation.
Where's the one on Rock Nation?
It's coming out very, very soon. But I did hear, John, that you think that I don't rap anymore.
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
You want a scrap?
You want some scramps?
Anyways, when we're talking about the native tongues, Jay Electronica is probably like not the go-to.
Isn't he part of the Arab Nation, though?
No, he's part of the Nation of Islam.
Nation of Islam, but that existed.
The same thing.
No, that existed during the Black Panthers. That's not anything to do with rap music.
No, we're just saying.
I guess maybe I'm confused and bringing up him for no... Bringing up me for no... Oh, boy.
There you go.
Jay. You can just call me Jay. I'll go get Noah.
Thanks, Noah. Awesome. Yeah, Nalawi, I think that the gangster raps, like you were saying, the DJ Quick. Mm-hmm. And
so what was it competing against? Because there's also...
They were just saying...
Each other, where did you fall?
You're talking about internally, like, mm-hmm. Subgenres of a genre, right? Mm-hmm. You're talking about what's going on within rap music. I'm talking about culturally. You're talking about...
Probably like grunge rock, was that really... Or that's more later.
No, grunge. No, you're right.
Yeah, because that's Nirvana.
That's when Nirvana and the Seattle grunge scene was making a big...
So angry white kids versus angry... angry white kids. Well, angry white kids listen to rap, too.
And grunge came out of punk.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The fast playing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that was... You know,
that was competing with wholesome country.
Yeah, but what you had with rap, too, is you had people like Axl Rose... wearing NWA shirts.
Yeah, yeah.
And Public Enemy literally opening up for U2.
Right.
So it was
And then the Roots playing for Jimmy Fallon.
Years later.
Whatever.
Rock and roll embraced. I mean, Run DMC did Walk This Way with Aerosmith, mm-hmm. their remake. So, and Anthrax did, the heavy metal band did, the Bring the Noise with Public Enemy. So you were getting rock and roll embraced rap.
Yeah.
Pretty fucking quick.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Generally speaking.
But from the American's perspective, that was threatening.
Oh, yeah.
A stage for this mm-hmm. underserved voice.
Two Live Crew got, what was, they got in trouble.
Yeah, yeah, they were the, they had, oh, fuck, who was the guy? They were great.
They're from Miami. Hey, we want some pussy, miso honey. Fucking crazy ass sex thing. Yeah.
Them and, yeah.
But they got,
Dr.
I mean,
Luke.
Yeah, Uncle Luke. Dr. Luke. No,
Dr.
Yeah,
Luke is the guy who raped Kesha.
Jesus Christ.
He did?
No, I didn't see that coming.
It's no, but that's who he is. Uncle Luke, yeah, yeah. You're right.
Well, shout out to Luke, I guess.
I mean, they were protested.
Doctor and or uncle.
Yeah, they came in and they were disruptors. Mm-hmm. Because they were the extreme.
Yeah,
very extreme.
And, or at least at the time. And that upset the status quo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it was reaching white kids.
And that's when society gets worried.
That's when it because
it's the same thing with like opiates now.
Yeah.
actually,
but it ain't killing them.
It's really sad. We're getting political.
White kids?
No, I don't think so.
Rappers.
I mean,
white kids.
White kids who maybe wanted to try too hard, but I have no statistics about that.
We could find some.
We used to go to rap concerts. That's actually who you had to watch out for.
Were the white kids?
The white kids trying to prove they were hard. Like, yeah, but
that's,
like
that, he's talking from experience, bro.
But you would see the white kids trying to dress. I mean, you go to a rap concert now and it's
all white,
diverse.
Yeah, it's all white. But back then, it was
the other thing.
But back then, yeah, you would get the wannabes trying to prove something, and that was where the problems would start.
Mm-hmm.
This is like 15, 20 years ago.
That's like that one dude, but I can't remember his name.
When did white kids push black kids out of the like as the main demographic for?
I'd say, like, starting Eminem, maybe.
Before that.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Tupac, his fan base was almost all white.
Yeah, Wu-Tang was just fucking huge with...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then... Yeah.
It's the only... Like, you watch Denver Comedy, it's like... DMX, Wu-Tang. Like, those are the only rappers ever mentioned.
Was that... Yeah, yeah like, 97.
Yeah, why is DMX mentioned so much?
He was
he's so easy to make
He was
fun
so
of.
Good.
Yeah, and he was on top of
he was
the
he was the dude
where
yeah, yeah.
where
the
hood
dude.
Where the hood where the hood at
yeah
nice that is a good question.
When DMX came out, it had followed. So after Tupac and Biggie died, everybody stopped making
murdered
in cold blood,
and one of them survived.
That's not true.
I mean, Tupac might be in Cuba.
Yeah, and he's in the H to the
Biggie,
Izzo video.
Biggie, I think, lives under DIA.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
I want to hear the theory. Why is Tupac in Cuba, or what is that story?
Oh, just people think he faked his death.
Like the 7-day theory.
Yeah, yeah.
Machiavelli.
A bunch of, like, stone, dumbass teenagers. They found all...
Always starts with teenagers.
Yeah.
It's gotta be stoned.
Yeah. They they had a whole thing where they were looking up. They were looking back in Tupac's discography and they noticed this pattern of like the number 7, right? Like,
John Elway.
John Elway.
Yeah.
Big
Elway fan.
Yeah, they were fucking with John Elway and they were like, John Elway killed Tupac. But,
I think that's what happened.
Yeah, they were talked about like if you rearrange Tupac's last album when he was alive, it said, something about like, I am alive or some shit. It was a bunch of like really far out.
But have you done the research yourself?
Machiavelli.
Have you poured through the numbers?
No, because he died.
Yeah, he's dead.
Because he died.
You were there?
Well, also,
you were there?
Also, another thing
Shut
is like with dead celebrities, anytime they get cremated the day afterwards, everyone thinks they're still alive. With Tupac was. Which is the funniest thing, because like you could watch documentaries of the Outlaws, his group, talking about like smoking
him.
His ashes.
They smoked him.
Here's my question.
That's fucking gangster. I'm going to smoke
they
my
smoked
parents'
his
ashes.
Ashes.
Does that work? Is that a narcotic?
Yeah, can that get you high?
Well, it's mostly weed.
They put it in the weed. It wasn't just like
a
blunt
slip.
Of Tupac.
It's a slip with Tupac instead of tobacco.
They weren't pouring the whole fucking.
I'm going to tell you guys, my dad wants to share with me. Was that he tried to smoke catnip one time and just gave him diarrhea. So, I mean...
Really? Are you being serious?
I feel like Tupac would be at least that good.
Did
diarrhea?
Do you think?
Yeah.
Is it on Biggie for betraying Tupac in that elevator in that lobby in that record no. studio lobby?
Yeah, let's go back. What is the beef here? Between two.
Or where is the beef here?
A couple of things. We'll explain it, but if you do want to do it on your own, there's a TV series about Tupac and Biggie, and there's a movie on Tupac and a movie on Biggie. It's the most covered story in Hollywood history.
Obama had jokes about it. You remember that?
How do you not know?
Yeah.
So we're going to do one more quick coverage of it here on this podcast.
Yeah, no. So
because Aaron doesn't know anything.
They were friends, and there's a Tupac... There was some people around that were associated with Puff Daddy. Yeah. They were associated with Puff Daddy. And Tupac essentially got shot. He got robbed. And he felt that Biggie knew.
Biggie set him up.
Biggie knew the guys. They knew they were going to rob him. And he didn't think Biggie set him up. He felt Biggie and Puff knew.
And didn't tell him. Well, you're splitting hairs. To me, that sounds like a setup if you're not doing anything.
Right. Well, I'm not from the streets like you, Noah, who got off a bus over a fist fight.
Absolutely, you absolutely aren't from the streets like me, and I'm glad that you pointed it out.
Can we take a quick break here?
Yeah, we'll
for those of you who don't know, Noah just put a pistol on the table and stared me straight.
You remember when 50 did that to Diddy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like the coolest shit. When Diddy was trying to sign 50 Cent after he got shot, 50 was like super paranoid, bulletproof vest.
Right.
As soon as 50 showed up to Bad Boy, he put a gun on the table. He's like, I'm not playing around with this shit. And then they kicked him out.
That's so cool that when Noah did it, we're like, what happened?
Yeah, you guys were not that threatened, clearly.
You haven't been shot 9 times. We don't know if you got some real shit.
I haven't been shot 9 times at once. You know what I mean? Yeah, do you have... Thanks. Thanks. Do you have... why is that funny?
It's funny because you have been shot 9 times.
So. Right. It just wasn't at a single sitting.
You suffered from lead poisoning. That's why you're gross.
More like head poisoning. Let me get some head poisoning. That's what I call getting a blowjob. Or something.
Is that what... When you,
that doesn't make any fucking sense.
Or when something different.
Is that what you do when you bust in a girl's mouth? You call it head poisoning.
Yeah,
poisoning that girl.
Yeah, it feels like sandpaper or something. You know,
Jesus Christ, you're a fucking maniac.
Blowjob Betty.
Too short.
No,
enough short.
There was a fight on a bus today.
No. All right,
and Noah called Aaron and was like, "I gotta walk. There was a fight on the bus."
Okay, here's the dealio with that. No. It was a totally full bus. Shut up. It was a totally full bus, and this lady was antagonizing everybody on the bus, and the bus driver pulled over and was like, you gotta get off. You just gotta get off my bus. And she wouldn't, so he called the RTD cops, and the bus didn't go anywhere until the cops came. So I just got off and was like, I guess I'm walking.
What's the difference between RTD cops and cops?
RTD cops can only deal with crimes on the bus.
Crimes on the bus.
Do they have guns?
Gosh, I would have loved to say,
that's cool. I want a gun.
Noah's writing.
Yeah, have you guys seen the new movie 10-15 to Paris? It stars me and my friend. We foiled it, a terrorist attack.
All right.
Okay. I don't know what his deal is.
Is that a real movie?
What's your guys' favorite rap soundtrack?
Soundtrack to a movie?
Or something like that.
The
rap song in a movie, sure.
Okay, no. What's the question?
Get Rich or Die Trying.
Yeah, Hustler's Ambition.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
you know, you're Lose Yourself, Eminem.
Yeah, I was about to say.
The 8 Mile soundtrack is fucking good. It's really fucking good. There was a rap documentary called The Show in like 94.
Yeah.
That had a really good soundtrack.
Okay.
Black Panther was a good one.
Black Panther,
that's
going to
be. That's why I bring it up.
There was a great awful horror movie starring Snoop Dogg in 2001 called Bones. It was fucking terrible. But the soundtrack... was fucking fire.
Really?
Yeah, it was.
The soundtrack was so fucking good.
I'm trying to think what else.
What other rap soundtracks are there? Poetic Justice had a very good soundtrack. Good. Boys in the Hood. Menace to Society.
Heat.
Bad Boys 2.
Oh, you know what? Men in Black 1.
That had Shake Your Tail Feather, right? With Diddy and Nelly.
Bad Boys 2 had Shake Your Tail Feather.
Yeah.
It also had Realest Killers, Biggie, and 50 Cent.
Okay, yeah. That was fun. That was a fun one.
These guys all your friends? Or
mm-hmm.
My favorite was probably Men in Black 1, the first soundtrack.
They lost
or Wild Wild West had a really good soundtrack.
That had a song called Bad Guys Always Die, where Dr. Dre and Eminem dissed Suge Knight.
Yeah.
So yeah, so your attempt at a joke
for a G-rated,
had a good song.
A PG-rated.
Yeah,
it wasn't a
movie.
Joke. I'm telling you what my favorite albums, soundtracks were.
Yeah, right.
That soundtrack had a little Bow Wow on it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Hosting 106, I think.
Is that still a show?
I think so. Yeah.
Now do me
Free and AJ had that show. It was so good.
Yeah, and then they had Terrence.
Now do me a favor.
Trash.
Yeah.
We got Lil Bow Wow on this side and Lil Romy on this side. What is the difference?
I knew you were gonna do that.
Fucking Christ.
who had the show on Nickelodeon?
Lil Romy.
Lil Romy. That's all I care about.
Masterpiece son.
Right. I knew that.
Lil Bow Wow was Snoop's cousin.
No, he's not related to Snoop.
Yeah, he is.
No. Oh, okay. Snoop discovered him somehow. So,
if you watch the Gin and Juice video, Bow Wow was in it.
Okay.
And yeah. Snoop and Dre were on Arsenio.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
Bow Wow, this might have been where they found him. Bow Wow was brought up on stage.
Mm-hmm.
This young kid. And I don't know, but yeah, he is in the Gin and Juice.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how he got the name.
No.
Yeah. Snoop protected him from Death Row and got him on So So Def.
Yeah. Which is an Atlanta record label by Jermaine Dupri.
Who's going in the Songwriters Hall of Fame? Did you see that?
I didn't see that.
Yeah,
Jermaine?
With Jay-Z.
That's not fair.
Yeah.
All right, flash forward.
I'm sorry. Like, Jermaine has some cool shit, but he's not Jay.
No. Flash forward. No. We're like 2002, all right? The United States is in Afghanistan. We're getting ready to go to Iraq.
Okay.
It's a troubled time.
Troubled time. Jay-Z is the fucking king. When do we start seeing Hotlanta and don't worry about it. When do we start seeing Hotlanta and Gnarlands get into this?
A couple
big
things. End? Your timeline with the Jay-Z thing was off. But
whatever.
Atlanta
2000.
Atlanta Outkast came out in the mid-90s and at the Source Awards when Death Row
and Bad Boy.
That's famous for the Suge Knight, Snoop, Puff Daddy thing.
Yeah.
But Outkast got on stage and got booed for being from Atlanta, and they're like, the South is in the house.
Oh, that was 97?
Four.
Four. Oh,
four,
shit.
Five. Yeah. Five.
97 was one Big Dad.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So Atlanta started coming. But yeah, you're not off on the probably around 2002, 2005 Atlanta started.
Then you have T.I., and then you have a lot of those guys.
Yeah, T.I. Trap music was like 2001, 2002?
The album? Yeah. 2004.
When
maybe did, 03.
Okay. Yeah,
when did Jeezy start getting into the...
Like 06.
Oh, 06. So even later than that.
05, 06, yeah.
Yeah, so it was mostly like mid, late 2000s was pretty much run by Atlanta until...
Lil Wayne.
It's still up there. I mean,
yeah, it really
Two
is.
Chains is from there. I mean, there's
Gucci Mane.
I mean, I think
Migos.
West...
Migos.
Right.
How has rap music changed? I mean, obviously there's... We've talked about it different times.
Yeah.
How has it changed... In the cultural perspective since, say, the mid-2000s to today?
Everyone's a rapper now?
Everyone's. You don't need a complete album anymore at all to be judged off of.
Yeah.
A big single always got you the attention, but you still used to have to put out a fucking album.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the case, unfortunately.
Yeah. It's more culturally diverse, some for good, some for bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you'll have like people like, I don't know, like Cardi B, Dominican or whatever she is.
We'll chalk it up to Dominican.
Or just like different, like you'll have people from different countries, things like that. But then you'll have.
Then you have French Montana.
Like,
well, from Montana.
Macklemore would not have flown.
Which,
15 years ago. He can rap though. He can
Macklemore
rap.
Doesn't bother me as much as like the hip hop shit in the South.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where they don't even understand the roots of it.
You used to have to,
Like, the Confederate flag rap is now a thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, that's awesome. That's a very confused appropriation of culture.
Yeah.
Outkast even flew it at one point.
Didn't they do it as a...
Vic Mensa still has it on his jacket.
I know.
That fuckboy Vic Mensa.
Knows.
I fucking hate Vic Mensa to say.
He's whack. He used to...
He's a Chicago rapper who sucks dick, and Jay-Z signed him because Jay-Z is terrible at signing artists.
Right. There was
besides,
a time that...
Like, three.
You don't have to prove yourself anymore.
Well, yeah.
And it's been that way for probably 10 years, but...
What does that look like? What is proving yourself? Okay, so old time proving yourself versus new time proving yourself. So you said single was important.
A single, you used to have to be able to... Like, you look at somebody like Big, who would walk in a room, and I don't think anybody's going, look at that sexy motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
But he could rap...
His ass off.
...really well.
And also, like, what you were rapping about had to be... Because, like...
Substance,
and you had to know what the fuck you were talking about.
And a purpose. Even if you were a party rapper, that's the party rapper.
Yeah,
that's his purpose.
Whereas you look at someone like Drake, that dude is, you know...
Everywhere.
A mixed race Jewish kid.
From Canadian.
From Canada, and he's talking... he's talking about, you know, he has songs where he's like, you know, filming this shit in Memphis.
That's why I like
talking about how trilly
he'll take styles from European rappers,
yeah,
and Jamaican rappers, and not even rappers, which 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you stole somebody's style, you were going to get killed for it.
Yeah.
Not literally. Maybe literally.
Even then, like, you could go back to like Kaluminati has like a bunch of shit where it's a lot of like, you know, dance hall artists on there.
Yeah.
I mean, The Chronic even has like some like Jamaican influence in there, but,
funk.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's a difference between, like, I think this is a debate within cultural appropriation
right.
thing is like, there's a difference between like, you know, just like, you know, giving it props and then just being like, no, this is my shit.
Yeah.
It differs from the original roots where they were sampling disco tracks. They were cutting.
Oh.
Specifically from a.
That's a great question.
Because they weren't presenting it like this is, we, like, they would say we're looping.
Right.
This.
They knew they weren't trying to be something.
As long, to me, as long as you're like transparent about it, and especially now since like sampling has become a whole different legal battle, as long as everything is, you know, legally good, I have no problem with sampling.
What rappers care about?
Legality.
They
have to now.
That,
I mean,
like, no,
yours,
it's true.
That's another thing. Like, you'll listen to like a lot of like new shit, like the 21 Savages, the Metro Boomins, the Migos. They're not really using samples anymore.
No,
it's all synthesizers.
No.
It's all like shit like that because it costs a lot of fucking money to sample these records. Like only Jay and Kanye, you know, those type of people can afford it.
That's how Cash Money made all that Juvenile album. They weren't sampling, and they were one of the they just came out and they were making all this money because they weren't having to pay out.
Yeah,
right.
Manny
samples.
Fresh was doing like original shit.
Yeah,
yeah.
Or seeing like a resurgence of like instrumental, like the Roots play all their instruments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the Roots has been a thing for like 25 years.
Other,
but yeah,
or other artists starting to take that.
Yeah,
for the live stuff. Yeah,
for the live stuff, and then like there was this weird thing a few years ago, especially after Pimp to Pimp Butterfly, there was like this weird like jazz rap trend.
Sure. Do you like? Is that I never heard of that album?
Well, also, yeah, I mean that dates back to like, you know, Black Radio with like Robert Glasper. Like
right.
You were like in the early 2010s and like late 2000s, you started to see people like Common and things like that. Like there was this jazz and rap,
because
it used to be just like rap with just sample jazz music,
boom
in the
bap,
90s. Like that boom bap
boom
style.
Bap.
But now you're starting to see, especially with like J Dilla.
I was going to say I have. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was about to say with J Dilla, you started to see like instrumentalists started copying hip hop, and then you have like someone like Robert Glasper who actually used to work with like J Dilla and Madlib and shit like that, and then they would start working with these rappers and putting out like really big budget records together. So yeah.
So
it's a thing now.
Like Jay, do you ever listen to Static Selecta?
Mm-hmm.
We reviewed his album.
Yeah.
Oh really?
Yeah.
The new one?
Eight.
It's
yeah.
fucking great.
Oh damn.
Yeah, it's really
okay,
fun.
I haven't heard.
It's fucking great.
I like all of just he does kind of what Jay Dilla does, that kind of jazzy horns and sax.
He's got a I think DJ Premier taught him a lot.
That too. Those are probably my three favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Can you predict where the style is going to go?
I think rap is going to be whack in 10 years.
It's in a bad because
is it going to go to that electronica kind of,
I think
no.
it's
kind
of
I think what I think is going to happen is that because too many people do it now, there's too many fucking whack artists, it's saturating the market, and I think it's this bubble is about to burst, in my opinion. Like I think in like 10-15 years this is going to be the wackest shit, no one's going to listen to it.
It needs to in the late 90s Master P was selling all these records with these weird digital album covers. And Puff Daddy was in the shiny suits. Now, Mace was with Puff. Mace could rap. So, and, you know, Master P had, like, Mystical, who weren't the best lyricists. But everybody got sick of that. And then Wyclef came out with Cannabis, and Dr. Dre came out with Eminem. And they were supposed to be the dudes because those dudes could rap.
Yeah.
They kind of fumbled the Cannabis thing, but Eminem clearly was a success. So, hopefully, if this bubble bursts, like he says, there's Kendrick Lamar and J. Cole.
Are the artists like really spearheading that?
Yeah,
shit?
Chance too. Those are the three, not Drake. Drake's a different. Drake's like 50 Cent.
So
not stylistically, but like
producers and
just rappers.
So,
J. Cole
is Kendrick. He has mostly. So he's in a label called TDE, and then it's almost all in-house producers.
Top
in that
Dog
label.
Entertainment.
Yeah.
How did they move from that rap persona to mogul figure? Like, how are they going to influence? I mean, they can obviously influence with their music, but how are they...
Signing new artists, co-signing new artists.
And
so, yeah. So it's a pyramid.
Giving back to their... and they're all giving 100%. Back to their community.
They they have to just make sure people can get that music.
That
seems hard these days.
It is.
Yeah.
Streaming, like you said, you pointed out, you get ADD on your streaming service. Like, it's hard to sit and be like, I'm going to listen to this song.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't listen to a full song.
That's why I still buy physical.
Yeah,
albums,
so right.
Because, like, it makes me actually... Yeah, exactly.
It's a better experience.
So, it used to be you had to have a full album. Now you have a single. In the future, you just have to have, like, a good...
Yeah, honestly...
A good hook.
That's actually a thing now.
So with just Vine a good verse, and
look at the song Panda. That song is like... That song is...
Listen to the song...
Whatever. Well, I mean, if you look at...
God, you got so upset that he corrected you on that. Whatever, Aaron. Fuck you.
Yeah,
listen to it.
Suck my dick. But you look at, like, that song Panda or any of Future songs, it's all these, like, 15-second loops that they can put on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So
it's
really
point.
Turning into that.
Little tiny ciphers.
Now, will this music last? No. Well, I'm not listening. No one's... I mean, I like a lot of it, but, like, this shit's not going to last in 20 years.
The way to make money is to appeal to the enthusiasts, mm-hmm. even if there's only 50,000 of them, because they'll go to every concert.
So working harder for a smaller demographic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems counterintuitive.
Atmosphere and Tech N9ne have had 25-year careers.
I was going to say, those are the two. Model. I put those two together always.
Even though they're completely...
I just...
Business model-wise,
they're the same. Someone says Atmosphere, I'm like, did you say Tech N9ne? And then someone says Tech N9ne, I'm like, oh, you mean Slug and the other one, Ant?
That must make for some really fucking weird conversations.
Yeah, I have so many Tech N9ne-related conversations. It's kind of crazy.
I was actually listening to All Sixes and Sevens the other day.
Is that the one with Lil Wayne?
Yeah, that was the one...
It's got B.O.B.
Is that...
Yeah.
Kendrick Lamar on that one?
Is that about...
Yes.
Drums?
I think sixes. So.
It is about
Do you want us to hear what was that?
Sixes and Sevens. Is that about is that like a
drum? I don't know.
Yeah, B.O.B. disses Tyler the Creator on that album.
Yeah, on that Psycho song. Also, it had Worldwide Choppers and shit.
That's the question again.
That's not a bad album.
No, it's not bad. It's way too
All right, and welcome to the Rhyme Goes On podcast. Giant. It's
That song is so cheesy.
It goes on again.
Yeah. We'll just.
So let's go here. So you guys do have a podcast, and you can talk about rap music. And
right.
It sounds like you're more interested in specific artists than the entirety of the
genre. We try to do, like, newer stuff. Yeah.
We'll find a way to get to Kanye West, Kendrick, or Eminem in every episode.
Yeah,
I was about to say.
You're always Eminem, you know.
You're kind of, you're more of an Eminem, and you're more of a Kanye.
So the reason those two come up the most is they both had the best runs.
Yeah.
I believe that.
And they had the two best runs in hip-hop.
Except for Twista.
Like three albums. Like
three straight albums.
Like just classic albums.
Just pop, pop, pop. And Kendrick has now entered that.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was one album, I can't remember the name of it, that was very, very, as far as Kendrick goes, underwhelming.
Damn.
No, I really liked Damn. It might have been...
Untitled?
No, it might have been the
you
one
see what
right...
He's doing? He's trolling you.
Before.
Oh, yeah. Suck my dick, Noah.
I'm going to show you something. It's a screenshot.
I don't want to see your balls again, John.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to show Noah my balls.
Oh, he's pulling out his balls. Oh,
look at my balls. Showing Noah my balls. So we were going to post this. Check it out.
Okay,
it's a screenshot from Facebook.
Sure.
Noah Reynolds likes Macklemore.
Oh, no.
Yeah, like, no. Hey,
that's freshman year.
You see that?
Oh,
I'm going to post this on Noah's wall.
Also says you have 13 other friends.
Yeah, but I don't give a fuck about it. I'm not trying to fuck with
I think it's funny
them.
That my name did show up.
It's yours.
Because let me tell you, bro. what was it? It's fall of... 2011?
No,
what was the heist?
Were you happy when the heist beat out Good Kid, Mad City?
The heist? No, I wasn't.
Cameo? Yeah, no.
But the heist was everybody listens
we're
to
gonna,
heist.
We're going
to
delete
Here's
those
the thing.
Facebook posts.
Yeah.
Delete those tweets. Fuck Kendrick.
Yeah. But Kendrick Macklemore's real hip-hop.
I texted Kendrick
Noah
Lamar.
Yeah.
I texted Kendrick Lamar the same as Macklemore. So I think you should have won. I don't know why this guy got it. So, no, I was upset.
Hold on.
But I do like the fact that...
he kind of looks like Macklemore.
Yeah, Irish, bro. Irish
he
pride.
He doesn't have the Nazi haircut, though.
Right.
No. Yeah. I could, though. Could you imagine if I had this all shaved?
High sides.
Yeah.
High and tight.
Do
Yeah, they wouldn't have kept you around. You look like a grandmother.
Do you guys, Aaron, do you listen to music? Do you get time?
I don't really have enough time to listen to music. I would have on the news.
You whistle. Yeah, you whistle, though. You're a really good whistler.
Yeah, that's because I don't have like a lot of influences outside of my own head.
Can you whistle California Love?
No,
what's your favorite? Before we get out of here, what's your favorite rap song?
Oh, you guys are deciding when we're getting out of here?
You're getting the SD card ready, you fucking dickhead. Okay.
My favorite rap song or album?
Album and song. Since you're such
really
a
hard. I really do like 1999, Joey Badass. That might be one of my favorites.
I thought you were saying East 99 by Bone Thugs. I was like, fuck yeah.
I like Bone Thugs, bro.
Yeah, Thuggish Ruggish Bone.
It's like goddamn Crossroads.
Cold Wind Blows or Wind Blows or whatever. And that's my favorite song. Boom, what Aaron was just humming.
I met Joey Badass.
I almost did, and then he started a mosh pit. He got so upset during his concert because people were talking during the Capital Steez like tribute, and he was like, "Shut the fuck up!" And he like yelled at everybody.
Well, yeah, Capital Steez is his boy that died.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He jumped off a building.
Yeah, oh yeah, he committed suicide. Yeah.
Or fell.
And Troy Ave. Mocked it in a song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Classic. Troy.
Troy Abbs.
He's in jail now, right?
For
shooting up that T.I. concert?
No. Taxstone went to jail for that.
Oh.
It was okay. Taxstone who... They tried to pin it on Troy Ave.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, these are all made-up nades.
Who would want to go to a concert?
I've been to.
Yeah, you went to a schoolboy one at Red Rocks, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
There was a shooting at Red Rocks? Colorado?
Yeah.
Nobody.
Yeah, shooting in Colorado.
Nobody was hurt.
Shooting in Colorado. Woo.
All right. Maybe to.
That's my ad lib. Woo.
Maybe to. That's not what I said. Maybe to wrap it up, though, you could tell us what our rap names would be. Just based
let's just
on
do
your
a cipher.
Expertise.
Let's fucking freestyle.
Damn.
Let's fucking.
No. I'm not a rapper. I actually did. I used to rap.
I have lyrics on my phone. I just never put them to fruition.
Pull a game and do the same freestyle for 5 years in a row.
I might.
Maslow's name would be Mad Slow, and he'd have like this chopped and screwed.
He'd have
flow.
To wear a helmet.
See, I feel like
he'd
call himself Mad Slow, and then he'd be quick.
Oh, so it'd be ironic?
Yeah.
Yeah, just like Biggie Smalls.
Aaron would be an independent rapper with a big following.
Mm-hmm. He would sort be of cool. Like, what's his name?
Yeah, what is his name?
King Ghidorah. King Ghidorah.
Noah would be a SoundCloud rapper.
Yeah, King Boa. And he'd be a snake with a crown.
Maybe I'll just Boa, bro.
Noah would be a SoundCloud trap. Like, yeah. He would be the next Lil Peep.
Dr. Art.
He'd be at the Hudson.
Hopefully he
won't. Just fucking mumble rap.
Just mumbly mumblies?
Yeah, mumbly bumblies. Just like Dr. Seuss.
That's so cool.
Noah would put out a song called Dr. Seuss that was like...
That's such a good name for a dope song. If I can make a dope song and call it Dr. Seuss...
It's like that Alphabet Soup song from like 2006.
Yo, I got my bitches and my sneeches.
So,
one with the star on the belly, one with...
For the listeners, me and Nalau, what do you say? We should each recommend one album.
To Pimp a Butterfly.
Boom. To Pimp a Butterfly is
I've listened to it, though, so it's not like I'm...
I'm gonna recommend The Diplomat's Diplomatic Immunity.
That's pretty good.
That's what I think everybody should go bomb.
I could also do something that's not To Pimp a Butterfly.
Yeah, do something. Do something a little like...
Off-brand.
Not like way deep cut, but like maybe like a solid record. Yeah. That
Chicken and Beer.
That's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
That's the first one I ever.
Let me see. Give me like.
You got the censored version, didn't you?
No, because
the fucking guy at Tower Records was such an asshole. Was like, excuse me, ma'am. You know, there's bad language on this album.
You know what? For announcing a new Black Star album, Mos Def, Black on Both Sides.
Yeah,
that's a great one. Miss Rap Booty.
Yeah, no, that's yeah.
Mr. Nigga with Q-Tip. That shit is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
That's the name of this podcast episode.
Nigga.
What?
Song is so good.
We got a lot of culture today.
Yeah, yeah, I dropped the N-word like 4 times.
It's a first here on the show.
So I thought it would be Noah who did it first.
Why don't you let your hands out?
Wasn't Katie Hannon throwing it around quite a bit when she was on?
Hannon. She can say it though. She has a card.
Did you guys get a shitload of downloads when you had Katie Hannon on your show?
We got so many.
What album did you guys do?
Like NERD, but it was because of Katie Hannon.
I had a card. I did have a card. I lost it. Tanasia in high school gave me one.
Oh, so did you call her that all the time?
No. I would never. But I'm saying that I want to let you know that I did have it. She thought I was really cool.
You fuck?
Me and Tanasia? No. Yeah. Teenage?
Oh, man, dude, our real name's on the podcast, and you're asking if they fucked.
Hey, what do you think I should learn today?
We are doing that. I don't know. I think you should have learned that despite how popular it may be, that traditional classic religious hymns are going to overtake rap music in the next 10 years.
Yeah, about.
Something like that, yeah.
And what would you like me to have learned?
No, if I had anything from this conversation that you should walk away with today, it's that you should have stayed on the bus and got in the line of that fight.
It was upsetting, and I wasn't going to take out my phone.
Yeah.
You have to walk away from a fight when you're involved.
And vines are only 6 seconds.
Yeah, and there's no vine anymore, so I don't know where I'd put it.
The next time there's a fight on the bus, you need to hang out.
Here's the thing, is I did hang out. It wasn't like it just started and then I left. Like, I was like, maybe this will resolve itself, and it didn't. I'm not a little bitch, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what people
You're say. A big bitch.
Fine, that's better, honestly.
Any final words?
Or plugs?
No, here's the
Now shoot us in the head. Any final words?
That's not how it's supposed to go.
Two of America's most wanted.
And unloading gangster party.
That's still
two of America's most wanted in the same motherfucking place in the same motherfucking time.
Nice.
I still can't find the uncut video of that.
It's not online.
It's hard to find.
Piggy and Buff.
Piggy and Buff. Yeah, Piggy and Buff. And when they actually have the bodyguard shoot him.
Jesus.
Yeah, that shit was so cool.
Death Row?
Yeah. All right.
Cool. So check out As the Rhyme Goes On. Check out Death Row Records, their production company.
Check us out at Find Us at West Facts Brewery last Saturday of every month.
I guess so, yeah. What is there?
Stand-up comedy.
What's there? Okay.
That's like rap.
February 24, headlined by Mike Stanley.
This is going to be my way after that.
Oh, okay.
What's the next one?
We don't have March headliner yet, so.
All right, so send us a video, and maybe we can get you on that show, I guess.
Yeah, so if you
submit videos to Noah Reynolds.
At Colorado. Schooling.
Send your 5-minute.
Reynolds. Schooling, yes.
Send us your 2-minute newbie set from New Talent Night.
See, are you? It doesn't even have to be stand up. We can diversify the show.
Yeah, but no
we'll
Jews.
Have, Jesus, Noah. All right, we're out.
All right, thanks, you guys.
'Yeah.
I've watched it.
I'm gonna wait until it's on iTunes.
That's
also,
cool.
we should be on Sex Pod pretty soon, shouldn't we?
Yeah, we have 9 or we'll have 9 this week.
I wonder if we can get
is
him
it like 15,
just,
20?
Yeah, I wonder if we let him listen just so that he also, no way Wally's gonna be listening to this, but.
Yeah, just do 15. He'll put it on.
Yeah. Well, we have definitely a 15 in the bag. Well, yeah.
Do you really?
Oh, this is 17, I think. No
shit.
Like 17.
How many? How many of you released? Like 8?
Yeah, 8 hours.
6,
now.
8.
Wow.
Was that 8 yesterday?
Wow.
Do you usually do back to backs?
We did like 4 or 5 before we even had a logo or a theme song or anything.
Yeah.
We did tests for a month to see if we could do it.
Yeah.
We did 3 in one night, that one.
Yeah, we did a few. We have a few on our podcast that we just straight up haven't put out.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there are definitely some that I'd be like, we should definitely put them all out, but there are some we should.
There's a rotation, like, but it comes out on Friday.
Uh-huh.
Generally, I'm not that pleased with it.
Oh, really? That's good to know.
Except this last one looked pretty good.
I haven't listened to Charlie and Brad.
So
I want to listen to that.
What's your, I just subscribe, so I just listen to it when it's new. What's your schedule? Is it every Friday?
Well, it's been twice a week.
Well, oh, really?
2 weeks.
Okay.
Twice a week. But
yeah.
Just because we have so much. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
But yeah. So it would be cool. Should, I don't know. What was your idea for the intro thing? You didn't tell me.
Let's hear it.
It's fucking weird ass.
They're telling secrets right now.
I know.
Yo, as the rhyme goes on about the fuck these dudes up.
Okay. About it. That's a good idea.
Checking out
that's
the a good IG. Idea.
Okay, cool.
Man, you know what?
That was fun.
I had a great time.
Do you want to grab something to eat real quick?
Yeah,
I'm not going to eat, but I'll go with you.
Okay.
Pizza pile. You want to come?
This has been a Sexpot Comedy Joint. Collaborative, community-driven comedy produced by Andy Jewett and Kayvon Kalatvari. Headquartered in Denver, Colorado, with technical support from Isaac Miller. Every day at sexpotcomedy.com or at a show near you. Until next time, be well, friends.